All right. Good morning. Good morning. My name's Eugene. I'm one of the elders here at Genesis. And I brought up here with me my good friend and our next gen pastor, Johnny Whitcomb, because we are going to tackle a 500-pound gorilla this morning. All right. So I need some muscle. So, Johnny, what is the 500-pound gorilla we're going to tackle?
Should have called Jeff Bruni. relational tension and how to love well despite differences.
Yes. I mean, relational tension and conflict is at an all-time high, right? I mean, between the pandemic, politics, racial issues, I mean, it is everywhere, and it's sky high, and everyone is just jacked up in the high end, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can even speak personally. Like, I'm a physician, so I have my biases about, you know, COVID-19 and the vaccine, and some of the stuff that I read on Facebook just drive me absolutely batty. But how should I, as a Christ follower, respond to that?
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. What about you, Johnny? What gets your goat?
Yeah, so I think about, you know, recently chaos that got in the way of me loving well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know, but two Wednesdays ago, something happened at the Capitol. And as a millennial, I was like glued to like four different YouTube channels that were like streaming it live. Maybe I shouldn't have been. Maybe that was not the right place to be. But I was like, you know, I'm young. So I'm like, what is happening? I'm not, you know, aware of this stuff. And something that I can do to love my wife really well, she's in grad school right now, and I always read her papers before she submits them just to check for grammar and stuff. And I was supposed to do that Wednesday night because her class was on Thursday. And so I was like glued to the TV watching it. And she'd come up and be like, hey, remember you said you were going to look at my paper? And I'd say, yeah, in a minute. And it happened a lot. And just the chaos and the confusion of that day, you know, we had a crucial conversation at the end of the day where she said, you did not love me well. And I was like, you were right. I was a bad husband. But it was the chaos and the confusion that did that to me. And I think just in all of our lives, there are things that can get in the way of loving well. And that's what we want to talk about today.
Right. So, you know, there are many sources of information out there, right? Everybody has their source, and it's the best source. And whether it's a podcast or a YouTube thing or what, or something that was posted online, everybody has their source. But there's only one truth, and that truth is in the Bible, right? So our goal today is not to sway you to be Republican or Democratic or be pro-mask, anti-mask, you know, pro-Black Lives Matter, anti-Black. And that's not our goal. The only thing that our church goes all in on and sides on is the Bible. We believe that this is God's word, God's truth. And so our goal is we're going to lay out God's truth for you this morning. We're going to lay it out in Scripture and we're going to let his word inform us and help us navigate through this chaos this morning, okay? And we're going to do things a little bit creatively. So, you know, our plan is we're going to read our main text twice. So we're going to read it twice, and we're going to let God's word speak to our hearts. And then we're going to pull out the main themes from the text that will guide our conversation. And then we're going to answer three practical questions that are going to help us apply what we read in the text to our lives.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. So, Johnny, get us started.
Yeah,
Romans
so we're
12.
We're going to be in Romans 12. We're going to be reading verses 9 through 21. If you've got a Bible with you, you can go ahead and open that up on your phone, or, you know, if you have a real book, that's good too. But we just want to read scriptures where we're coming from. That's the only place we want to come from. And also, if you want sermon notes, thank you, Deb, you can text us for sermon notes as well. But let's just soak in this scripture and really do that well. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to repay. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
All right, take a deep breath. All right, now we're going to read it again. I want you to focus on the verbs, the action words. What is God telling us to do? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those that who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for the God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Mm. All right. So what are the main themes from this passage that we see?
Yeah. So the first theme that I saw was zeal for the Lord. The idea that Christ and his kingdom needs to be at the forefront of our minds, of our hearts, and our lives and actions, everything that we do. Kind of what Will Hennigan talked about last week in church, but being excited for the things of the Lord.
Right. And the second thing that we see is to be humble and to honor and value others above self. Right. So it's so easy to assert ourselves, our opinions and whatever, but to be humble and honor and value others above ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And then live at peace with everyone. And what I love about this is peace is active.
Right.
Peace is involved. It's engaged. It's moving forward. You know, we think of peace as something that's, you know, still and silent and passive. That's not the case. These are active things that we're doing.
And the fourth theme is to trust God's justice and judgment. Right. Don't take into your own hands, but trust that in his time and in his justice, things will be all right.
Yeah. And then overcome evil with good. That's my last one. And that's just to say that how you do something is just as important as what's getting done. You know, right. There's a method that Jesus used that we can follow.
And you know, there's a lot going on around us, right? I mean, we see everything on the news and social media, all around us in school. But today we want to suspend those thoughts for just a few moments and really focus on what's inside. Mm-hmm. What's inside you and what drives us to feel what we feel, say what we say, and what does God want us to do about it?
Yeah.
So, Johnny, why should I love them?
Yes, because we all have a them, right? Raise your hand if you have a them. Someone or some people that are hard to love. We all have a them. You know, because Christ first loved us. That's really what it boils down to. And when it comes to Christ's love, there's two things that I think are most important. When we look at what he did on the cross for us and that come out in this passage, the first is that love must be sincere. And, you know, in the Greek, that's literally like without a mask. There can't be like a secondary layer to whatever you're doing. For me, there is a secondary layer to that comes out of me when there's like relational tension in my life. I can choose justice over love. And when I mean justice, what I mean is what's right in my eyes, you know? So I will detonate a relationship with somebody in pursuit of truth. And by truth, I mean my truth. You know what I mean? And so that can get in the way of me loving the people that God puts in my life. And that's something, you know, my family tells me all the time is sometimes being right isn't the most important thing, Johnny. Maybe sometimes you just need to learn how to love people. Eugene, what would it be for you if something were to blow up a relationship?
You know, mine would be pride, hands down. So, you know, how I look to other people, pride is definitely it.
Yeah, yeah. And when you look at Jesus, what he did and what I would commend to us as Christ followers to do is he really put other people's needs above his own. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he definitely, you know, prayed, God, if it's your will, take this from me, when he was headed towards the cross. But then he picked up that cross and he marched to Golgotha on our behalf because he was sincere in his love. It wasn't masked or covered over by something else. He went there for us. And so when we are engaging with the people around us, I think the first question I would want us to ask is, are we genuinely doing what we're doing for their good? Or is there a sense of justice? I need to repay, you know? Or is there a sense of pride? I want to be put in a good light. Is there a sense of insecurity? You know, I'm engaging with this out of fear for what it might mean for my life and my safety. Or a sense of anger. You know, anger gets in the way a lot. There's lots of different things that can mask love, cover up love in our lives. And then secondly, you know, it says we need to be devoted to one another in love, honoring one another above ourselves. And that those words in there, if you look at them in the Greek, they have to do with family. The devotion is like a family devotion, like, you know, a father to a son, or, you know, a wife or a husband, you know, together. It's a devotion that doesn't quit, that doesn't give up, that sees you either as family or as potential family. And again, that's what Christ did at the cross, is he said, you know, these people are far from me. At this moment, these people are screaming insults in my face. But I'm doing this that they might become family with God. And that's what we're called to do as well, is be devoted. I'm not walking away from this conversation. I'm not walking away from this fight. I'm devoted to sticking with you no matter what happens. So I think for me, you know, it's not just like this general like Hallmark movie love that we're talking about here. It's really like a sense of like contending with people for their good, for their best interest. And that's, you know, what I would fight for right. In days like today. Yeah. Secondary question, because that's all kind of up here. I'm really good at doing the up here stuff. When the rubber hits the road, Eugene, yeah. What are some practical ways? What does this love look like?
Right. So remember, one of the things we talked about is that love and peace are not passive pursuits, right? They're active pursuits. And I got to tell you, it's pretty funny. God has a sense of humor, because literally 2 days ago, there was a relational conflict that was presented before me. And it was pretty big.
Yeah,
and
a chance to detonate.
Yeah, there was a chance to detonate. And I certainly felt those emotions rising up in me. And I literally had to take my sermon notes out and follow through these rules of engagement. And it worked, you know. And so... But I don't always do that, and then I regret it afterwards. So what are these rules of engagement? Well, it starts with looking inward. It starts with having a right heart posture. And we skip this step all the time. I do, at least. You know, we just want to jump right in, and we want to respond, and we want to answer, and we're going to show them and whatever. But to start with looking inward first and looking, how do I feel and why do I feel this way? And, you know, the passage in Romans talks about three things. It talks about sincerity, truly wanting what's best for the other person. And then empathy, putting yourself in their shoes, trying to understand the emotions, right? Rejoice when they rejoice, mourn when they mourn. You know, so really understanding their emotions or trying to understand their emotions. And then the last is humility, recognizing that even though that I am right or I think that I am right, maybe... that there is another perspective out there that may be different from my own, and it may be legitimate, right? So not that I have a corner on this, but that maybe there's some other perspectives that are legitimate, and there may be reasons before that because of their upbringing or because of their culture or how they were, you know, where they live. There's a lot of different perspectives out there. And then after we look inward, we want to look upward. We want to rely on God. And when you look at, like, God's infinite power compared to our finite power, it's like we have a AAA battery, and he's got the power grid. But yet, we as Americans always want to be so autonomous and be self-sufficient, and we're going to do it ourselves, and we don't rely on anybody. But God wants us to rely on him. And again, going back to the passage in Romans, it talks about rejoicing in the confident hope in God's kingdom. Right, what Will talked about last week, rejoicing in the confident hope in God's kingdom. And when we do that, when we focus on his kingdom and his kingdom alone, it repels the fear and the anger and the pride and the justice that get in the way of loving people and get in the way of being a peacemaker. So after that, then we to be faithful in prayer, that we don't need to do it on our own. Stay connected to God. He wants to know what your frustrations are, your anger is, or whatever's going on. If you read Psalms, David shares his emotions with God time and time and time again. God wants to hear that. And then he will guide us through those emotions to his way. And the last is to be patient during difficult times and not trying to force the result, right? And this is hard for me. I just want to see the result and have it now, right? But sometimes God wants us to marinate in that difficult time because that's where we grow. Mm. That's where we grow as Christ followers, is during those difficult times. And so sometimes rushing through that, we miss the whole point of him allowing us to go through that. So be patient during those difficult times. And then after we've, you know, looked upward, then the last is then we can finally interact with people. We can want to look outward, right? And to do that, again, the scripture talks about honoring others above self, to be considerate, to think of others' needs, to not be conceited and self-focused. And, you know, to be considerate, there's a skill at this. Mm. And the skill is to listen to understand, not to respond.
Yeah.
Listen to understand, not to respond. And this applies to all conflicts. So any husbands out there, we suck at this. We suck at this. I'm sorry. But, you know, you're already coming up with a response when your wife says something and not really listening to what her needs or what she's trying to get at so that you can be considerate.
Yeah.
Or if you're a parent and you're having some challenges with your kid right now or vice versa, I mean, are you really listening to each other and what they're saying, or are you just ready to come with a comeback right at them, right?
Yeah. My mom would always say, I want to be heard. I don't want your rebuttal. So this is for me.
Yeah, honestly, this whole sermon's for both of us. I mean, it's been tough. So, and then, you know, verse 21 talks about overcoming evil with good. Don't seek revenge on your own enemy, on your enemies. Don't repay evil with more evil, but rather kill them with kindness. Mm. Meet their needs, even their physical needs. I mean, they talked about, they need, you know, if they're thirsty, give them something to drink. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. You know, even meet their physical needs. Bless them. Want the best for them. Honestly, want the best for them. And the thing is, this is so countercultural, and this is so hard. Like, and it, the reason I think it's hard is because we don't connect with God and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. Mm. Right? We try to do it in our own will, and that's almost impossible. And I think that a lot of the church think of this as they think of jaywalking, right? Like, you know, it's a rule and law, but, you know, people do it all the time anyway, so why not, you know? Yeah. But no, Scripture is very clear. Scripture is very clear about this, to honor above ourselves and to overcome evil with good. Mm. And so if you're going through a challenging marriage right now, or maybe a challenging parent-child relationship, or maybe you had a falling out with a friend right now, and you're probably thinking, like, well, how many times am I going to let them step all over me or offend me or hurt me? You know, when can I call it quits kind of deal? Verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, not how the other party responds or what they do or don't do, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So it is our responsibility to do that, right? So, Johnny, I suppose that if we keep the peace with everyone, some people are going to think, like, well, so does this mean that I just kind of keep my opinion to myself and like, avoid conflict and just let people step all over me?
Yeah.
I mean, you justice people out there are thinking that right now. I know you are, right?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to be a doormat for everybody?
Yeah.
Just walk all over?
No. Yeah, if you're hearing Eugene and I talk and you're like, they want us to be pushovers, that's not the case. You know, I think that the whole tension here that we're going to be talking about all of today is how do you speak the truth in love? How do you keep the love coming and the truth coming at the same time? Because like the scripture says, your love needs to be sincere. So to not tell the truth, that's insincerity, you know? And I think my biggest thing is, when you're doing this, are you building a bridge in a relationship, or are you building a wall in your relationship with the other person? That's really what it comes down to in my mind. And then also, are the things that you're zealous for, are the things that you're fighting for, are the things that you're, you know, contending for, the things of the Lord? Or maybe there's, you know, other things. You know, I think that there's a lot of things that I hold too strongly, that I hold too strongly because I live in Petoskey. You know, there's things that I hold too strongly, that I hold too strongly because I was a Whitcomb. I'm a Whitcomb. So my parents gave me a certain set of values, a certain set of principles. And for me, the biggest thing is this zealousness, is this excitement, is this energy, is this tenacity coming from something that's genuinely godly, Or is it coming from, you know, maybe an opinion that's given to me someplace else? Because really, our zeal needs to be for the Lord. It can't be for a specific political party. It can't be for a specific ideology. It can't be for, you know, the fact that I'm a Whitcomb and, you know, Whitcombs rinse their plates before they put them away. Come on, guys. You know, I can be really zealous for that. But is that something that's genuinely found in Scripture? And I think that's an important question to ask. And I think I need to, you know, for me in my own head, I need to kind of reassert God's sovereignty, his position as absolute authority in my life over any circumstance, no matter how scary or weird or frustrating or confusing or chaotic it can be to my own heart.
Right. And we have a good friend and a local theological blogger, Felicia Masonheimer, that posted this quote that really kind of hit me between the eyes. And the quote says, if we believe God is sovereign only when our candidate is in power, then we do not believe God is sovereign at all. Think about that for a second. And the reason that that is true is literally one page over in Romans 13:1, it reads, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God.
Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, for me, that's a challenging thought because, you know, am I an American Christian or a Christian American? What comes first in right. my life? Where's my view shaped and formed? Is it shaped by Scripture or is it shaped by something else? And I have an example in my own life. I remember when I was, you know, in high school, you know, I thought, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. So it's like having a box that said Christian on it, you know? But I didn't do the time or the research myself to see what was supposed to go in this box. And so anybody could tell me anything about what it meant to be a Christian, and I would just believe them. I'd stick it in the box. You know, I had teachers who said, you know, Christianity, Buddhism, they're not that different. They're pretty much the same religion. And I didn't do the research for myself, and so I was like, sounds good. Christianity, Buddhism, we're all the same, you know? Newscasters, you know, people on YouTube, people on this stage can tell you things, but there's a way that you can check for yourself and see if it belongs in your box, to see if it's something that you should be zealous for, and that's to read the Bible for yourself. Dig into God's word, dig into Jesus' teachings, and say, okay, what's there? What is Jesus telling me to do? And if it's not coming from Jesus, then it doesn't belong in this box. And I just, as a Christian, I feel a burden on my own heart to discern and to decide and to find out from this book what goes in this box. What belongs with this title? I don't want anybody else being able to tell me what that is. It comes from Scripture. It comes from Jesus himself. He has words. He told us things. Let's believe those things. And then secondly, you know, when it comes to zeal and being zealous for things, you know, Jesus taught us well that Christianity is not a religion, a belief of force, and a belief of winning, you know, at, you know, the other person's losing, you know. It's not a I win, you lose when it comes to Christianity. Christianity is a belief that we influence others for their best to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus did. When he called followers to himself, he didn't do it at knife point. He didn't do it by force. He could have. He's all powerful. It says in Scripture he could have called legions of angels down, and everybody's bowing down to him. But instead, he walked around and he said, hey, come follow me. Come see what I'm about. And it wasn't, I'm going to prove you wrong and I'm going to defeat you with this. It was, I'm going to persuade you and influence you with this. And that's a big difference. And so when we're contending with people that have differences to us, are we saying, I'm going to win at all costs? Or are you going to say, I'm going to influence and I'm going to love and I'm going to be winsome to you with what I believe? Because that's what Jesus did to us. That's how he lived, is he came to us and he said, come and see, come and follow, come and check it out. And he gives us the ability to walk away. He doesn't do it by force. So, I mean, that's what we need to do as Christians.
Right. And there's a great passage in James 3, 17 through 18. It reads, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Yeah. So peace brings righteousness. That's counterintuitive to me. I would think that being right brings righteousness. That's my justice mindset says being right brings righteousness. But no, it's sow peace, reap righteousness.
So how do we know if we're veering from God's path when we're in the midst of a conflict, right? How do we know, like when I had that thing on Friday, how did I know if what I felt or was going to do was veering from what God wants for me? Because it's tough to tell when things are heated and you're in the, you know, your emotions are high.
Amen.
Yeah, it's tough. So I have four diagnostic questions that you need to ask yourself. One is, have I prayed about it? You know, to be connected to the power grid again, have I prayed about it? Have I listened to understand and not just listened to respond? So to be considerate, again, have I listened to understand the other side? Three is, how do I talk about them when they're not around, right? This is a sincerity check. How do I talk about them when they're not around? And the last one is, am I representing Christ well and honoring him by being loving and being a peacemaker in all my public arenas? So, you know, your personal conversations, social media, what you put on your lawn, all important. And the reason that is important is because anybody has the potential for being a family member of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. To be in our family, in the church family, in the body of Christ. And so how we present God to mm-hmm. others and what we say, it may feel good at the moment, but if it detonates the potential for them to win them to Christ later on, then we've already lost.
Yeah. That's right. A big one. Online is big for me. I can type out whole paragraphs in like the comment sections of a post and then like pray to God and he'll be like, delete all that.
Yeah. So it's important to our witness. So we recognize that for some of you, even what we're saying today may kind of tick you off. And, you know, this topic is very pokey. And
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I'm right there with you too. But if it's beyond that, where you're actually mad and angry and kind of upset about all this, let's put these lessons into practice. Let's have a dialogue. They'll come, you know, Johnny and I will make ourselves available after this throughout the week and later on too, and Norm or Scott. Or you can text Genesis to say you want to meet with us or you have questions. You can ask a question in there. But let's have a dialogue about it, because the worst thing that you could do is to be upset and leave the church. Absolute worst thing. And the reason why that is so bad is because that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to dismantle the body of Christ. He wants to create dissension and, you know, and break the unity of our brotherhood and sisterhood. And if you really want to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, it starts with us. And we can't expect peace in the world if we, as brothers and sisters, cannot get along, even with differing views.
Yeah.
Even with differing views. And there's a great, again, I'll end with this passage, John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus tells us this is the proof of our discipleship to the world, is our love for one another. And this is what we want for Genesis. This is what we want for our community. You know, let love be our trademark going out. Amen?
Amen. We're going to pray, and then Scott is going to bring up some next steps. Dear God, thank you so much for this time that we can gather together. God, I pray that today brings conviction, hope, joy, a more sincere spirit, steadfast, that's ready to follow after you in all of our hearts, God. I just pray that as we leave this place, that we would seek to keep unity above all else, that we would seek to love one another winsomely in a way that brings us closer together, that keeps conversations going, that doesn't fracture and split apart your body. That's not your desire for your church, God. Your desire is for us to be together. We're thankful for this time. We're thankful for our people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Eugene. Boy, I'm so glad you guys chose Romans 12 to talk about, because Romans 13 is all about government, its role, how we should obey government, our interaction with it, and my mind kind of wants to go right there. Chapter 12 is all about what kind of person do we need to be before we can even think about obeying government or even think about what government ought to be doing. I confess that when I watch the news or I look at things right now, what's going on in Washington, etc., honestly, I'm looking for some things that I can shake my head at. I mean, be honest, that's it. I'm looking for some things that affirm my beliefs, that make me think, what's wrong with people? And I can just kind of shake my head and feel better about my own perspective. And that's wrong. chapter 12 saying, don't look out there and shake your head. Look at yourself and shake your head and figure out where you need to grow. So here's our next steps. They're about looking at ourselves and maybe shaking our head a little bit. Evaluate all your public arenas. That's, you know, the people you talk to at work, the news stations you listen to, the news channels that you watch. Talk about, you know, what you do on Facebook or whatever other social media. Look at those and ask God to reveal to you whether you're representing him well by being a peacemaker rather than an opinion maker. Are you representing Christ well? Secondly, set up a time to listen and understand the perspective of someone who differs from your point of view. That's really hard. That's that just listen to understand, not to win, not to persuade. We're being stereotypical, but I know as a guy, I really struggle with that. But it's a personality thing, and you may have that personality where you've kind of got to drive it home and to just listen. If you don't know somebody on the opposite side of the fence, that's maybe a red flag right there. Maybe you just need to, if you're always watching CNN, go over and watch Fox News for a little bit. Not to go shake your head, but to listen, to watch. If you're always listening to Rush Limbaugh, go over and listen to NPR for a little while and see what they have to say. Not to criticize, but to just listen and learn. And finally, that box that Johnny mentioned, assess that box. What's gotten put in there by other people that isn't a bad thing necessarily, but it's not a Christian thing. It's not what you should be zealous for. It's overruling everything else. It's shaping your behaviors and your opinions and the way you talk. And it's not from Christ. It's from mom and dad. It's from society. It's from the community that we live in. Again, could be good values, but if those values are the ones that are shaping everything else, if they're shaping your Christian values, then things are out of order. So those are your next steps, Genesis. That means some work. That means some self-evaluation. I'd encourage you maybe today, spend less time looking at the news, more time looking at God's word, more time looking at your own heart and bringing that to the Lord. Let's stand together and I'll dismiss us in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word because it gets to the heart of the matter. I can find information aplenty on Google. I can get opinions all over the place, but truth is hard to find. And I just thank you that your word is true and it's pointed and it cuts and it points at us. And help us, Lord, to point at ourselves and sort that out before we go pointing fingers everywhere else. Lord God, forgive us for where we have stirred up controversy unnecessarily. Forgive us, Lord, if we've been complacent and had no opinions whatsoever and wanted to stick our head in the sand. Lord, we need to be Christ followers, influencers of other people for the gospel, more than our political party, more than our personal opinion. So thank you, Lord, for these hard teachings. Thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to speak truth to us. And then, Lord, I just pray that Christians here at Genesis and at other churches in Petoskey and around the world, that we would let our light shine in this dark time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.